Our number three of the program. Plenty to get to tonight as we make our way towards 7 o'clock. We've still got the Avenged Sevenfold tickets that we need to give away. Kyle informs me that I did promise that they were going to be given away in the next couple minutes, and that was about half an hour ago. So I guess better late than never. 319-366-1600. Caller number six is going to take home our final pair of tickets for that concert. Very difficult to get your hands on these tickets at this point in time. As a matter of fact, this may be your only way. So caller number six, 319-366-1600. Good luck with that. The Big Hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Celebrating 15 years in business, Steve Anderson and his crew in Iowa City. And we're going to kick it off, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, with former Iowa offensive lineman Sean Welsh tonight joining us on the program, getting ready for the next step in his pro football career. So Kyle's going to let us know who caller number six is. But Sean, welcome to the program. It's been a while since we've touched base with you. I think probably since you sat down with us in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day, and a lot has transpired since then. But how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, things have been good right now. You know, just training and, you know, like you said, getting ready for the next step. And just got back from the Senior Bowl this past week and finally getting back into the groove of lifting and all that. So it's been good so far.
What did you take out of that experience, Sean, the Senior Bowl? I know it's kind of the first step for some of you guys, the guys that get to go to that bowl.
Sure. Well, you know, what I enjoyed the most about it was, you know, just being around a lot of like-minded people, you know. And a cool part about it, too, is you know, a lot of different people, from, you know, they have different perspectives and different ideas. And, you know, you're so used to the same, you know, being coached the same thing for 5 years. You know, it's interesting to see how things, people do things differently at different places.
How do you view that? Do you use it as an opportunity to sort of network and get to know guys, or do you look around and go, hey, these guys are sort of my competition when it comes to trying to get a job at the next level? What was the camaraderie like?
You know, it was great. You know, I mean, yeah, everyone on our team, they, you know, got along really well, and you know, there's a little bit of both. I mean, you're competing for reps, and you want to get in there as many times as you can in the drill work. But at the same time, you know, you want to have a good time too, and kind of take in and enjoy the experience.
How many teams do they do? I'm not sure this stuff is so fluid, but is it similar to the combine where you do interviews with some of the teams and some of the player personnel guys? Did you get a chance to do that?
Yeah, so, you know, it was mainly that. It was a week of informal interviews, and it was, you know, a little bit of football practice and a little bit of meeting time, but, we spent most of our time doing those informal interviews and those psych evals where scouts get to sit down and talk with you, and it's a good opportunity to get to know, you know, the kind of people those organizations hire, too. So it was just a really cool and unique experience.
Former Iowa offensive lineman Sean Welsh joining us on the program. You had a very well-publicized story this summer right before Big Ten Media Day where you came out and opened up about your battle with depression, and it was talked about at the time of how this was going to come into play as you prepared for the NFL. So in talking with the player personnel reps and the scouts at the Senior Bowl, how often did that come up?
You know, they do a really good job of understanding, you know, who they're getting involved with, and rightly so. You know, they're going to pay you some money, a lot of money to play football. They need to know what they're investing in. And, you know, most of the teams, when I went through the informal interviews, it came up to some point or another. And, you know, it's something with, you know, the help of a lot of people and, you know, the experience of being able to talk with it publicly that, you know, I think I was able to turn it into a strength. You know, I want to use it as something that I can add value to the team, you know, having that perspective and maybe helping some other guys out in the locker room. That was kind of the main point I wanted to convey in those interviews. But, you know, all in all, it went really well. Everyone was very positive. you know, it went really well.
How, since you came out about that and talked about depression back whenever that was in July or August, has that changed your life at all? And in what ways? I mean, have people reached out to you? Have you, you know, talked about it more? Kind of how has that transpired?
Well, you know, it's not funny, I should say, but since I've came forward and spoke about it, you know, there's so many people that deal with it quietly and they're either embarrassed or, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want to come forward or they don't want to bring someone else's, you know, experience forward. They kind of, I've been asked a lot of advice from people, friends, family, acquaintances. You know, it's something that I knew when I released that op-ed that it was going to have some kind of impact, but there's really kind of no way I could have gauged, you know, and I'll have complete strangers reach out to me too through social media. They'll write me letters. It's been a really cathartic experience. You know, it's been really good for me to find something to, you know, get involved in. And, you know, it helps. I think it helps with anyone who's dealing with any kind of mental health to talk about it, you know, openly.
Sean Welsh, former Iowa offensive lineman, joining us for a few more minutes on the program. As you look back on your year on the field, your last year in an Iowa uniform, how do you feel you grew as a player in your senior season?
I think as I got older, you take more of a leadership role, and you know that's something that I kind of thought about, you know, this past season. How it felt like I was just yesterday a freshman, and now I was kind of mentoring these guys. You know, that was the biggest difference. I found, you know, it was just a you're able to draw on your experience and help those young guys out. You know, it's something kind of unique to your senior year.
Your left-hand man has decided to enter the NFL draft early as well. Did you kind of see that coming with James and, you know, playing alongside him for a couple of years? What type of NFL player do you think he will be?
I think he'll be very successful. Whether he stayed or, you know, whether he, you know, like he is right now leaving. He's tremendous. He's very talented, athletic, and he's incredibly smart, too. So I think he'll be very successful wherever he goes. I'm looking forward to see how he develops and, you know, what the future holds in store for him.
What do you see with this line coming back, Sean? Obviously, you and James are two big pieces to replace, but it seemed like the tackles, you know, Tristan and Alaric kind of went through and trial by fire, I guess, so to speak, this year. And then you've got... you know, Ross Reynolds coming back and, you know, other people in that got experience this year. How do you see that line coming together next year?
You know, I think, you know, when guys leave, it creates opportunities. And you'll hear the same thing from Coach Ferentz, you know. It's going to create opportunity having some of those older guys leave. I think guys like Keegan... Render, he's going to have to take a more defined leadership role because he's going to have the most experience, and I have no doubt he'll really shine. He's an incredibly smart person, but all those other guys, you know, that I know Tristan will do well. I played next to him, you know, he held his own several times and some, you know, during the season, and I have no doubt Coach Polisic will have them ready as well.
What was it like working with Tim Polisek his first year, being your last year? I'm sure that was a little bit difficult to make that transition in your final year as a Hawkeye.
No, it was fun. I mean, he's a great coach, and he's a great person. You know, you could tell he really cares about his players. You know, he gets very passionate about what he does, and he loves coaching. It was really a pleasure playing for him. I really enjoyed my time.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from NFL teams, Sean, just in terms of how they view you at the next level?
At this stage, it's kind of been more or less them asking the questions. You know, they really haven't given me a lot of feedback. I have an idea of what they're probably thinking, areas I need to improve. I think everyone's kind of playing with their cards close to their chest at this stage in the game, and they haven't really told me a whole lot. But, it's not something that I should worry about right now. I'm kind of worried about training and, giving the best impression I can this winter and spring.
Are you working out with anybody else, or are you sort of doing a lone wolf approach here? What's your training regimen like?
I'm here in Iowa City with Coach Doyle. There's about 13, 14 of us seniors, former players that are there right now training, getting ready for the combine and the pro day and all that.
What's a day like for you, Sean, now that you're back from the Senior Bowl? What's kind of what's the training day like for you?
It's very similar to when I was at Iowa. I mean, not too long ago, our winter program's very similar. A lot of strength training, some, speed work beforehand. But afterwards, it's basically the same without the school. So I've got a fair amount of spare time on my hands. I got a Kindle, so I'm kind of, hitting the books and reading a little bit, and it's been a nice time, kind of having the independence and the free time to do what you want to do. I get to spend some time with my girlfriend and my friends that are training here. It's been a pretty, laid back experience, other than the working out.
Is there, I know there's a number of different things that they put you through during pro days. Is there anything that maybe in the back of your mind that you're not looking forward to as much as something else? Is there something that you're a little concerned about at this point?
There are a couple new cone drills that, we're figuring out the steps and fundamentals to right now. And it's something that I'm worried about right now. But, I'm sure moving forward, the more reps that I have at it, stuff like the L drill or anything like that, it's just like football. The more reps you get, the more confident it becomes. So I don't see it being much of an issue in the future, but it's just something we're starting to roll out right now.
You and Josh took part in a skills competition, I guess, in Dallas at some point this week. I think it airs tonight. What type of skills do they have offensive linemen do?
So yeah, it wasn't just offensive linemen. It was just linemen in general in our challenge. I think it was six guys altogether, and it was four offensive linemen, two defensive linemen. And it was essentially an obstacle course. You had to flip a tire, push a sled, do some agility work, run under a chute, and then do a hoop drill, pick up a ball, and then run through the end zone. It was probably, I forget what my time was, but it was under a minute. And it was basically competing, who could get the best score.
Sean, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. And like I said, it seems like just the other day we were sitting down with you in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day. And now here you are getting ready for Pro Day and hopefully a career in the NFL. We wish you the best. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you very much.
6'19". Good kid.
Yeah.
Good player, good kid, and really easy to root for him to find success at the next level. Whether or not he gets that opportunity remains to be seen, but he's working out with Coach Doyle in Iowa City. And the cone drill, I imagine there are probably a lot of offensive linemen that don't look forward to the cone drill. The big guys aren't exactly the most agile.
No, and I don't know how much pro player personnel, how much they learn from a big guy doing a cone drill or running the 40. I'm not sure that that's those are necessary, but I'm glad that when he was down there in Alabama that he had a positive experience from his interviews with NFL player personnel. That was one of the first things I thought about when he came forward and talked about his depression, is how will that play in the NFL? And hopefully there's more acceptance and the NFL people understand that he's a good kid and with a good work ethic from a good program, and that, you know, he manages his illness. It's not something that's a drawback.
A, it's unfortunate that is even an issue.
Yeah.
But B, the way that I look at it is, if I'm a general manager, if I'm a director of player personnel or scouting, I look at that and I see, you know what, I give him bonus points for coming out and putting that out there in the open. If you're scoring a guy's character or something, that's plus 10, plus 25, you know, whatever you want to put in the character column, because there are a lot of guys that they'd be worried about what that would do to their career and wanting to play in the NFL and try to keep that under wraps. And he knew that the best thing for him was to be upfront about it and ultimately help him in his struggle and overcoming the depression, which, if you didn't read the original op-ed, it's still out there online. It's pretty easy to track down. He strikes me as a very, very intelligent gentleman, and it's going to be fun, hopefully, watching him latch on with an NFL team, get an opportunity to go to camp. And if it doesn't work out, there's always the XFL. You brought up Josh Jackson, and we were talking late yesterday. CBS released its latest mock draft, and they had Jackson going 8th overall to Chicago, which I don't know how closely you pay attention. I know there are some Hawkeye fans who are also Bears fans that have complained for a really long time that the Bears have not been interested in Iowa players for whatever reason over the last the 20 years that Kirk Ferentz has been there and Hayden Fry's tail end of his era. There have not been a lot of Iowa players, for whatever reason, winding up in Chicago. And I think it'd be interesting and fun to watch him, not fun as a Packers fan, going up against him twice a year, but Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller, they're going to need a guy to step in next year at corner. And to see him go, Josh Jackson, from last year, being a guy that some people maybe had some questions about, to this year vaulting himself into the possibility of being a top 10 pick, that's an amazing climb in about 18 months.
He was the other guy. It was Manny Rugamba that everybody was talking about as being the next Desmond King, and then Josh Jackson ends up emerging as a unanimous All-American. I think it helps guys, too, that not only with Josh Jackson you get, you know, the package of a really good player, but he's got a good track record from the program that he comes from. He'll interview well, and I think Toddy's really going to test well. I think when they get him at the combine, I think he'll do nothing but improve his draft stock to go with the film that he produced this year.
Interesting to get his thoughts, to get Sean's thoughts on James Daniels as well, another guy. He was not in the first round of CBS's mock draft the other day, but depending on which talent evaluator you're talking with on any given day, Daniels is a guy who could possibly work himself into a first-round conversation, especially with a team. I've seen Tennessee linked with him, a team that's going to need a center, but also a chance he's going to probably move to the left or the right at the next level as well. So plenty to watch with these guys over the next couple weeks, and we're going to hear from Kirk Ferentz on Wednesday. He'll give us a little bit of an update on signing day and some comings and goings. I know you and I were chatting with some of the other guys out in New York City at the Pinstripe Bowl. Ryan Boyle's departure from the program, not necessarily a huge surprise today when Iowa announced that.
No, I had heard in late November, early December, that Wiggers and Ryan Boyle were likely out of here. And that's just the landscape of college football these days. They've got a player in Nate Stanley who's younger than them that's playing ahead of them. And, with the graduate transfer rule now, and give Ryan Boyle credit, he's going to graduate from a Big Ten university in 3 years and have 2 years of eligibility left. I mean, he has a chance to go somewhere and play for 2 years. It's tough to hold him down. And you could tell, I think, from the release today, for what Kirk Ferentz said, and he said this about Tyler Wiggers too. Those guys were team players. They did what they could while they were here, but they want to play, and only one quarterback can play. So they're going to go somewhere, and hopefully they hook on with a program that can utilize their skill set.
And with Boyle, the guy who went through a transition from one position to the next, you thought if it wasn't last year, then it wasn't going to happen in Iowa City. So, as you said, he gets 2 years to go play somewhere. It'd be interesting to see where he ultimately winds up, but that is pretty impressive to put that much work, classroom work in. And as we mentioned earlier, Alex and I were talking about it. It doesn't necessarily hurt you to have players leave the program as long as they're graduating and not dragging your numbers down with you. So he did everything off of the field that you expect from somebody you bring into your program. And, of course, Iowa will wish him the best of luck moving forward. 6:26, we'll step aside, take a quick break. By the way, congratulations. Mike in Cedar Rapids was the winner of the tickets to see Avenged Sevenfold at the U.S. Cellular Center. Coming up next week, we've got gift certificates from Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. Will help perhaps get you ready or lend a hand for your Valentine's Day preparations. Mantality.com, lowtusa.com, and Mantality, a website that you need to check out if you're a man over the age of 40 who feels you may be suffering from the effects of low testosterone. Mantality specializes in testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT. They've got a clinic located in North Liberty, so whether you live in Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, or the surrounding area, it's pretty convenient for you. It's also convenient because you just log on to their website and make an appointment straight through that. You get into the office. It's unlike any doctor's office you've ever been to before. Chances are your insurance is going to take care of your visit as well as your treatment. They can tell you all of that and explain it when you get there. It's as simple as a blood test. They'll do a little blood draw, send it off to the lab, check your testosterone levels, and then if they are low, they have a treatment plan that's been 90% successful regardless of the physical condition of the patients, getting those testosterone levels back up to where they need to be. Mantality. Check them out online, lowtusa.com. 6:27, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. The Todd Brommelkamp Show continuing on towards 7 o'clock, all three frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Since 1944, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day, like a delicate bracelet, a set of perfectly cut diamond earrings, or a beautiful and elegant watch. At Hertine and Stocker, they understand that Valentine's Day is much more than a day for children to exchange heart-shaped candies. It's a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Find the feeling. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Okay, everybody, I've called this brainstorm because senior management says we need big ideas. So, what have you got?
Well, Dave, how about we...
No.
Okay, we could try the...
Stupid.
What if we started charging employees to use the bathroom?
I love that idea. That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, Dad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
6:29, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with you on KGYM till 7 o'clock tonight. Then we'll wait about 15, 30 minutes, get you some high school action on the way on all three of our frequencies. Two different games, one on the South Gym and then one that will air on 1600 AM as well as 107.5 FM. Kyle's going to tell you a little bit about that and more. He's got his next Midwest One Bank Big Board update ready to go. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta spoke with reporters about Fran McCaffrey's recent contract extension, and he explained that it was his decision to not announce it at the time because he prefers such matters to be addressed either before or after the season. They'd struck a general agreement over the summer, but Barta had to step away for health reasons, and the amendments weren't finalized until several games into the season. Kirk Ferentz also announced today that Ryan Boyle will be graduating in May and will transfer away from the Iowa football program. The Iowa women pulled one out in overtime last night on the road at Michigan State. Things were tied at 65 entering the extra period, but a Chase Coley jumper gave the Hawkeyes a lead, and a pair of Megan Gustafson free throws iced it for a 71-68 victory. She finished with 36 points and 17 boards with 3 blocks, while Kathleen Doyle had 11 points and 11 assists. It was one of the best performances from Gustafson in a season in which she's had many, and today she was named to the Lisa Leslie Center Award Top 10 list. She's averaging over 24 points, 12 rebounds, and 2 blocks on the season, and those numbers actually increase across the board in Big Ten play. We've got a busy weekend of programming to look ahead to. Tonight, beginning at 7:30, we'll have the Xavier girls hosting Prairie on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym and 107.5 FM, the North Gym, as well as the Solon boys hosting Maquoket on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Tomorrow on the Main Gym, we'll have UNI hosting Indiana State with coverage beginning at 2:30, followed by Iowa State on the road at Baylor at 6. And then on Sunday, we will have the Super Bowl with coverage starting at 1 on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
And, of course, Monday, we will cover all things Super Bowl, as will most of the ESPN national programming. And I'm sure they'll get around to touching on it on the gym class as well. If you missed handicapper Lee Sterling, he was on with us earlier tonight. He's on the Eagles plus 4.5. I find it very hard to bet against Bill Belichick, but then again, what do I know? That's why I'm sitting here and not a professional handicapper. 6:31, we'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back, we'll talk about the Gary Barta comments to the media as well as Iowa and what the Hawkeyes will need to do on the road in State College to try to steal a victory over the Penn State Nittany Lions this weekend. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in with us. The Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, continues after this.
Stugatz here for the Black Tux. Everyone wants to look as great as their date at a wedding or special event. Guys, the BlackTux.com is your answer. With high-quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your doorstep, the Black Tux lets you create your look or choose from tons of stylist-selected outfits without ever leaving the couch. Stand out at your next event for the right reason with the Black Tux. To get $20 off your purchase, visit the BlackTux.com/Dan. That's the BlackTux.com/Dan. Again, to get $20 off your purchase, visit the BlackTux.com/Dan.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you were unanimously voted MVP, not of the league, of the earth.
With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon.
But you'll feel like you've just been handed a championship trophy made from every other championship trophy.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Performing at your best is difficult when suffering with sleep apnea. At Philips, we've seen the effects of sleep apnea on everyone from world-class swimmers to pro football players. One thing is clear, the demands of performing at these levels requires a good night's sleep each night. Philips DreamWear Mask and DreamStation Go have helped put their sleep apnea to rest. Don't let sleep apnea stand in the way of achieving your best. See performance at work by visiting sleepapnea.com. That's sleepapnea.com.
In honor of the extra most bestest with the most cheese and the most pepperoni, we hired the most spokespeople.
Little Caesars Extra Most Bestest has the most cheese and the most pepperoni for the nation's best price. Just $6. So don't go anywhere else.
Claim of most cheese and most pepperoni at the nation's best price is based on comparison of Little Caesars Extra Most Bestest pizza and the other three national pizza chains' large round standard menu one-topping pepperoni pizza sold at everyday menu prices at participating locations plus tax.
Pizza, pizza.
6:33, welcome in. I was rocked to my very core during that break by taking a look at a list of 5 of the greatest Chicago Cubs baseball cards of all time that somebody had compiled on NBC Chicago. And the 1984 Fleer Jay Johnstone card was not on there, in which Jay Johnstone is pictured wearing a Budweiser umbrella as a hat. You remember that card? You remember Jay Johnstone?
Yes,
it was a pretty good a ball player in the 70s and in the early 80s, a veteran guy that teams like the Cubs or the Dodgers or whoever was making a championship run would go out and bring in. I met him at the Cubs convention several years ago, and he is just as goofy as you would expect him to be. Nice guy. Getting up there, though. Still, you look at him, he ain't walking past people on the street who would recognize him. people would look and go, oh, hey, that's Jay Johnstone.
I'm sure he can get in and out of airports without much trouble.
Probably can get it. He's like Ed Podolak. He can get a table anywhere he wants to go. That was my favorite part of New York when I was Ed can get a table anywhere in New York City that he wants. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com with us talking Hawkeyes. And let's touch briefly on Gary Bartik. I know he was in the news again earlier this week. A couple people caught up with him. I saw Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette chatting him up on Tuesday night at the Iowa-Minnesota basketball game. He's trying to put as positive of a spin on the Fran McCaffrey contract extension, the secret contract extension, that he possibly can. But I think he's just digging himself a little bit of a deeper hole on it. The more he talks about it and the more people go and find examples to refute what he's saying, well, I don't give a, you know, we don't talk about contract extensions in the season and stuff like that. What do you make of this? The story that just refuses to die. It's the Rasputin of contract stories.
I think the timing of it was just, it couldn't have been, it could always be worse, but it was poor for Iowa when you have things going on at other colleges, Michigan State, where there's, you know, a lack of transparency. And then this is nowhere near that level of, you know, cover up. It's not even close. But even something this small gets blown up when you're wanting your universities, your public universities, to be transparent. And there was just, there was no good reason for them not to release this information other than Iowa was struggling during a basketball season and they were afraid how it would have been received by the fan base, but they made it worse by keeping it quiet and saying that they don't talk about contracts during the season was made out, makes Gary look untruthful, a liar, if you will, because he's done it before. He did it as recently with, you know, Kirk Ferentz's contract extension. So, yeah, a public relations mess, you know, to on a lower level. It's not a huge deal, but it was something that could have been avoided, and they didn't avoid it.
Something else that came up that hasn't really gotten much attention, I would have thought maybe it would have gotten a little bit more attention, is the fact that he also addressed Black Friday and said he would like to continue playing that Black Friday game, even though in 2019, 2020, whatever it is, when the schedule switches and it's Wisconsin that the Hawkeyes are going to be ending the season with instead of Nebraska, that Black Friday doesn't necessarily need to be Iowa-Nebraska, that he wouldn't mind playing Wisconsin. I always got the impression Kirk Ferentz wasn't a fan of playing that Friday game.
No, he's come out recently when they were talking about the jumbling it for or rotating teams in it. He came out this year and said he likes that Friday game.
I thought he didn't like anything that deviated from the routine and the short Friday.
He's come around because he likes the kids to be able to play that Friday and then go home and spend the weekend with their families because they're most likely going to miss the Thanksgiving anyway on that Thursday. This way they get to go home after they return to Iowa City on Friday and do the Thanksgiving thing at home.
Ah, see, he's evolving.
Yes.
He's coming around. Okay, that's good to see.
He's going for it on fourth down. I mean,
new Kirk. Yes. This is just part of new. Old Kirk was anti-Black Friday, and now this is new Kirk again. He'll get a kick out of this if he's listening. He's not. 319-366-1600. It's the Hertine and Stocker text line. You can use it to reach out to us here. Don't forget, vote in the poll question today. Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Who wins Super Bowl 52 Sunday in the Twin Cities, the Patriots or the Eagles? Let's shift gears, talk Hawkeye hoops. They've got a game tomorrow, a big game on the road, taking on Penn State at the Bryce Jordan Center. You said, I think, an 8.5-point underdog in Las Vegas, and this is a big game for Penn State.
Yes, Penn State is one of those teams. I think Penn State and Nebraska, if you're looking beyond the top four teams in the Big Ten, those are your teams that are, I don't know if you even want to say on the bubble yet, but trying to play their way into the tournament. And let's face it, Penn State can't afford a home loss to Iowa and expect to make a push for the tournament. They don't. I mean, they still have opportunities left on their schedule. They still play Ohio State. They still play Michigan. They still play Purdue. But you can't have a bad loss at home at this, you know, at this stage of the game.
For the Hawkeyes, that win Tuesday night against Minnesota, I think re-energized some people a little bit. They came out, they played good basketball, solid offensive and defensive for the entire game. But the second half was really about as solid of a 20 minutes of basketball that they played in the Big Ten. Now, a detractor can look at that and say, Minnesota had eight scholarship guys in uniform. It was simply Iowa wearing them down the final 20 minutes. But we talked with Sherm Dillard earlier tonight and talking to Fran after the game. It was encouraging to see those guys perform that way, and it's just a sign that they do need to find better consistency, especially on the defensive end of the court, and then maybe some, not all, of the problems, the issues will start working themselves out.
And when you look at this roster, you would expect at least most outside of Dom Yule, and you could have, you know, maybe Brady Ellingson doesn't come back. Maybe there are some other transfers that happen because that's the nature of college basketball and college sports in general these days. But the core of this team is going to be back, so you want to see them progress. And like you said, especially on the defensive end, get better. And I thought they did that at times the other night. They still gave up 47 points in the second half. And gave up too many easy baskets, but it's going to be baby steps. They're going to have to get better progressively over the rest of this season. And hopefully they really need a win, Todd, over a team that maybe they're not expected to beat. I mean, they were favored against Wisconsin and they were favored against Minnesota. Give them credit. They went out. They haven't quit. I thought they played hard at Nebraska. They didn't play well, but they played hard. So Fran, you know, when teams are going bad, you get that, you know, the question from people, has Fran lost this team? I don't sense at all that he's lost this team.
The question ain't coming up very much now that the Gary Barta secret contract extension story. I mean, people are staring that in the face of reality and going, okay, he's not going anywhere. I agree with you. Let's see them win a game against a team they're not supposed to beat. And Penn State beat them by 4 points way back in early December, the Big Ten opener. Now, this is going on the road into a building that the atmosphere at the Bryce Jordan Center isn't necessarily among the best in the Big Ten, but when Penn State's playing good basketball, the fans do turn out, and I think that they're going to have a home court advantage at this game tomorrow, and it may be enough to lift them to victory. I don't know about covering the 8.5. Seems to me a big number, which concerns me a little bit if Vegas thinks Penn State's 8.5 points better than the Hawkeyes.
They have some type of, I don't know if it's a, I can't imagine it's a reunion for some, because they've not won anything.
Maybe, you
know,
Jerry Dunn's coming back.
It's the,
or Terry.
Yes.
It was Jerry, the twin brothers.
But they're having some type of, I don't know if it's varsity weekend like Iowa does when they bring the Letterman back. Maybe it's Letterman weekend. Something's going on tomorrow in relation to this basketball game that hopefully puts some people in the seats. Because as you said, sometimes you have to make your own energy in that building because it's just so sterile that there's just nothing going on. It's so dead.
It's massive. It's a, for yes, people who have not been there, it is a very large arena. And when it's only filled halfway to capacity, it's like basically playing an open scrimmage. And we've talked about that in the past with Iowa football, too, when they go places on the road, like
Illinois,
to Illinois or Rutgers, where there just isn't a whole lot of atmosphere. It's tough sometimes for these guys to get up and go out and play the game. And then next week, Michigan State comes to town, and that's a program that it's not among Tom Izzo's best. They're still pretty good, but they've got a lot of things going on outside of basketball that's sort of hovering around that program that could be a distraction.
Very uncomfortable press conferences to watch.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, and I don't begrudge the ESPN reporters or the other reporters that are asking him questions, and it's certainly his right to stick to his story and not address those questions, but you have to wonder, at some point, does it handicap this team? And in the grand scheme of things, I really don't give a crap what happened at that university and what, you know, they've been charged with. I really don't care what happens to their basketball team, but the kids that are on scholarship and that are there are trying to win this year. They're a top five team in the country. At what point do these things on the outside start to infiltrate the program, and does it become a distraction? That's, you know, because when they go to New York, they're probably going to deal with this for the Big Ten tournament. Wherever they go in the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to, you know, handle this stuff. You almost wonder if Izzo isn't better just coming out and addressing this stuff and getting it out there rather than just to keep, you know, keep it going. And I think it's just going to keep going the more he just, you know, declines to answer the questions.
I saw one of the state of Michigan radio personalities filed a Freedom of Information request for police documents related to one of the events with the basketball team, and they were denied the information request, and people were parsing the language of the response from the police department, and it's not a good look, because they're saying that there's no reason that they shouldn't be releasing the documents here, that maybe, you know, you're always going to have your conspiracy theorist that Tom Izzo is suppressing information and that the police are answering to Tom Izzo. And that's my favorite conspiracy theory, that in these college towns, the head football coach or the head basketball coach, whatever program is the most powerful, that guy is secretly running the town. Like he's the bad guy in Roadhouse. Like, can you, Kirk Ferentz has the stuffed polar bear over in the corner and he's just running Iowa City. I don't see it.
I think one of the questions for Izzo or why people keep asking Izzo is Mark D'Antonio came out that first night and was at the Breslin Center and said, hey, I'm denying everything.
They switched roles.
Right, and Izzo hasn't.
His personality and Izzo's were sort of exact opposites of what they normally are that night. And for Izzo, a guy who the media loves him, the fans love him, he's in a very precarious position, one that he's not accustomed to. And ESPN keeps the pressure on him. It'll be fascinating to see whether or not next week it comes up while he's here in Iowa City too. But at some point in time, you got to quit running from it. You got to come out and maybe give some more specifics or some more details, or just finally go into that hole for legal reasons.
It's his legacy now. I mean, this is his legacy. You're talking about one of the, you know, the premier coaches of his era.
Which is hard to believe, that in 5 years, you've seen two icons of the Big Ten, that one of them toppled like a Saddam Hussein statue in Joe Paterno, and rightfully so, at Penn State. But to 5 years later be having a similar conversation about a guy like Tom Izzo, it boggles my mind a little bit. Now, speaking of legacy, Tuesday night, 400 wins, career wins for Fran McCaffrey. We touched on it on Wednesday. He seemed uncomfortable talking about it after the game on Tuesday night, but I thought the quote was great about he hasn't won any games, the players around him have. And again, a sign over four programs, 22 years. He's had success everywhere he's gone. And no knuckleheads, which I thought was... I never in a million years thought Fran McCaffrey would use the phrase knuckleheads in a post-game press conference, but it came up on Tuesday. And it wasn't in reference to anybody who was sitting in the room. That was another plus.
No, and I think he handled the question well. He knows it's not a season that Iowa fans have enjoyed. He's not enjoyed it. The players haven't enjoyed it. But I think there are times where he grinds on his players, and you know, just his persona and the way he gets into them and all that stuff. But I think for the most part, if you go through the years, and I think Mel Sanbasabi was somebody who congratulated him on social media the other day, I think most of his players love him and, you knows that he has their back. We call it hyperbole sometimes, that some of the compliments that he hands out to his players.
He's got Kevin McHale on the roster. He's got this guy.
He's got Jordan Bohannon, Steph Curry, But I think they know that he has their back in public, and that goes a long way. And I think there's a strong relationship there, and I think he has that relationship with guys that have played for him through the years. And 400 is a lot of wins, and it's not like he did them at Duke. I mean, Lehigh, Greensboro, Siena, those aren't high-powered programs. And he's rebuilt this thing. I know people are saying he's taken it as far as he can take it, and Iowa needs to move on so somebody can take him to the next level, which I still can't believe people are using that term.
Next level. Yeah, next level.
The next level. But he's done a great job building this program back up to where it was from where it was when the previous coach left town.
While we've got you here, we were talking earlier about football and recruiting, and I glossed right over the fact Iowa did get a commit a couple hours ago from an in-state prospect. What do you know about Logan Klemp?
Yeah, Logan Klemp from Jewell, South Hamilton. I believe he was offered today and took the scholarship. He's a linebacker, 6'3", 215. He visited quite a bit this season, and Iowa has liked him throughout the process. He officially visited North Dakota State and South Dakota within the last few weeks. From the vibe that I got from him, Iowa has 8 walk-on linebackers in this class. He wasn't going to be the 9th. If he didn't get a scholarship, he was going to go to the FCS level and probably do really well. Iowa now, we're, 5 days away from signing day. They're still hoping to get Jaden McDonald from Georgia and or James Miller, the linebacker from Florida, both of whom officially visited this past weekend. But McDonald is on an official visit to Ole Miss. Miller is on an official visit to Florida State this week. That's the type of competition Iowa is dealing with. I think Logan Klemp is a bird in the hand. They wanted another linebacker in this class. I still think they will take Miller and or McDonald if they chose to come here. But Logan Klemp is a good get for them. And with the new earlier signing period, a lot of kids have already signed with schools like North Dakota. So Iowa doesn't have that same luxury as they had in the past to get guys like that late in the process, like Josie Jewell. So I think they did well in getting Logan Klemp.
We'll see whether or not there's another couple names who pop up on that committed list and signed list. And Kirk Ferentz again meeting with the media on Wednesday for the late signing period.
One other note, we had Sean on earlier, that All-Star Football Challenge, if for those that are interested in watching Sean and Josh Jackson take part in that, will air tonight at 8 p.m. on ESPN2.
I'm interested in that. I think it was CBS over the weekend. They had a show. It was more like a talent show with guys out of the NFL. I would watch that.
You mean like doing like karaoke and stuff?
Yeah, like who's the most talented player in the NFL? And it was guys you'd never heard of, and they were doing things like riding a unicycle around, which I don't know if you saw this or not, but we mentioned this week Red Panda.
I did see
had her unicycle stolen.
Has it been returned? I know the Warriors bought a new one.
The Golden State Warriors ponied up $2,000.
Have video footage of this guy that
they
took
do.
It?
They've got photos of, and it's a big suitcase. Panda, for people who don't know, is sort of legendary among people who cover basketball games for a living, college and pro basketball. She's a halftime entertainment act who rides a 7-foot-tall custom-made unicycle, and she flips bowls onto her head. And she's really good at it, and she's entertaining, and some guy stole her unicycle, which is apparently they're very hard to come by. That's a custom job she's riding around on.
The reward was only $2,000. Didn't that seem low to you?
Well, a new bike cost $2,000 apparently, yeah. So the reward was going to be what the thing cost, but the Warriors stepped up to the plate. Which, again, I have a hard time people giving Golden State a lot of credit here. $2,000 to an NBA team is a couple tickets. I mean, it's not a whole lot of money that they're shelling out there, and people are acting like it's a major charity donation. But Red Panda, rest assured, she ain't going anywhere. Now, the Russian Bar Act, they had at Carver on Tuesday. I don't know about that. Nobody's stealing the bar.
No,
from the Russians.
That was strange,
but in sort of a good way.
I prefer the dogs. I prefer the Frisbee dogs.
Everybody loves Frisbee dogs. We got to step aside, take a final break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another Big Board update, and then we'll get you out of here. And that'll do it for a Friday program. Back with more after this.
When she says,
"Thanks, Valentine,"
she really means, "You didn't get it right, but I'm being nice." Well, this year, get a
"You're the best Valentine"
with Sweetopia handmade chocolates. These hand-painted artisan chocolates are almost as beautiful as her, and she'll think they're amazing. Come in and choose a ready-to-go box or customize your favorites at Sweetopia.
Best Valentine ever!
Sweetopia, inside Nubo City Market, 3rd Street, Southeast, and Cedar Rapids.
No lizard.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
No lizard, or TV personality, or bespectacled professor. No stage, no set, no facade. Insurance isn't entertainment. It's something you need to keep a bad thing from turning into a worse thing. That doesn't mean it has to be all stone-faced and serious. It can come with a kind, smart person who answers the phone or an email or even comes to your home when you need them. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
All right, here's Kyle. Next Big Board Update brought to you by Midwest One. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta spoke with reporters about Fran McCaffrey's recent contract extension, and he explained that it was his decision to not announce it at the time because he prefers such matters to be addressed either before or after the season. They'd struck a general agreement over the summer, but Barta had to step away for health reasons, and the amendments weren't finalized until several games into the season. Kirk Ferentz also announced today that Ryan Boyle will be graduating in May and is going to transfer away from the Iowa football program. The Iowa women pulled one out in overtime last night on the road at Michigan State. Things were tied at 65 entering the extra period, but a Chase Coley jumper gave the Hawkeyes a lead, and a pair of Megan Gustafson free throws iced it for a 71-68 victory. Gustafson finished with 36 points and 17 boards with 3 blocks, while Kathleen Doyle had 11 points and 11 assists. It was one of the best performances from Gustafson in a season in which she's had many, and today she was named to the Lisa Leslie Center Award Top 10 list. She's averaging over 24 points, 12 rebounds, and 2 blocks on the season, and those numbers actually increase across the board in Big Ten play. We've got a busy weekend of programming to look ahead to. Tonight, beginning at 7:30, we'll have the Xavier girls hosting Prairie on 1600 and 107.5 FM, the North Gym, as well as the Solon boys hosting Maquoketa on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Tomorrow on the main gym, we'll have UNI hosting Indiana State with coverage beginning at 2:30, followed by Iowa State on the road at Baylor at 6. And then on Sunday, we will have the Super Bowl with coverage starting at 1 on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
It's going to do it for the Big Hour brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, and it's also going to do it for another week of local programming here. I appreciate everybody who's listened in this week. I need you guys more than ever. I appreciate it, and I love each and every one of you. I hope you all have a great weekend. And join me back here on Monday. We'll break down the Super Bowl for you.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back.